You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 1 of Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host still, Kofi Outlaw, and with me are my co-hosts, Janelle Wheeler.
Hey, guys.
And Matthew Aguilar.
What's up,
back from his new parenting daddy train for Season 2. Little sleepy, but here to help us kick off. And if you're watching the video, as you can see, the Season 2 budget has been increased. We've gotten a nice little upgrade here in the studio, so if you haven't been watching us because you couldn't take the visuals, I suggest you jump in now. We've improved things. We've improved our set. I think we've even improved ourselves. We might be getting a little bit better looking this season. I'm not sure.
Been working out real
we're
hard.
We're working on the budget. We're working on the budget, but I think there is somewhere in the budget for us to get better looking this season, so be sure to check us out on video.
I will have a new nose in Season 3.
Yeah, that's going for that new nose.
You guys just look better to begin with on the news.
Oh my God, I forgot we still have a corner, and in that corner is still producer Jim Viscardi.
What's up?
Yes. Now surrounded by comic books, as befitting this show. So this is episode 101 if you're coming in from season one with the legacy numbering. And today we have a lot to talk about to kick off. I mean, it is the new season, so we got to start with some new things. And that new thing would be the Batman. You know, just in time for season two, the Batman is now filming. So we're going to talk about that. We got some new Transformers movies. It looks like that could be restarting soon and in a much better way. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to get into some of these first Super Bowl commercials and how we feel about all these kind of big Super Bowl ads and the possible trailers for the big game. And we're going to get, since Matt is back, we're going to get a comics rundown. And last time we heard you at the end of season one, we were all ending season one on the cliffhanger of what would happen in WWE's Royal Rumble. So we are going to be back with a special surprise guest to help recap all of that. So jumping right into our news flash segment, that's a lot of new stuff that we're kind of excited to start off season two with. But unfortunately, this being the show that it is and the timing that it is, we have to start off on kind of a somber note and just kind of having a moment of remembrance for the late and great Kobe Bryant, who tragically passed away with eight other people in a helicopter crash on Sunday in Calabasas, California. We don't try to get too heavy on this show, but this has been kind of a big deal for people all over the world. He was a major just icon in general. And fun fact, he was from my hometown of Lower Merion. I actually grew up in high school at the time Kobe Bryant's rise to basketball godhood was happening.
That's awesome.
I used to see him like practicing in the gym and, you know, our town just awestruck from early on seeing this guy who we knew was going to be one of the biggest athletes of, you know, our day. And even then, not understanding how big of great of an athlete we were watching take shape. So, there's been a lot of bugged out things from people from my town because it is, you know, mortality now exists to us in a very kind of firm way. But that's not what we're here to discuss. This isn't my free therapy anymore. We've graduated past that.
Absolutely.
So back to entertainment stuff and some happier stuff. Let's jump into the world of DC and talk about the Batman. So for weeks now, I mean, this is kind of a weird thing because we've been seeing photos leak from the Batman set.
Yeah, I'm so confused about this.
Yeah, it's movies. Like, so they've been shooting stuff and doing stuff, but officially, quote unquote, officially, production has just started on the Batman like yesterday. So director Matt Reeves kind of put out a teaser photo of them with a clapboard. And, you know, the most exciting thing we got was a tattered couch
Well, and the logo.
Font.
Yeah, the logo was cool.
What are you trying to take, like, Jump Gun Jim's place now?
See how good I was? I kept my mouth shut and everything.
Yeah.
So proud.
Yeah, you got to build it up. You got to get the sizzle, then the steak. Yeah. Like, so, but yes, there was a logo for the Batman. And yeah, it's kind of dripped in red. It almost looks, some people were kind of comparing it to like Batman Begins. So we got a logo. And I mean, I guess that logo kind of does confirm this is called the Batman. I mean, after all this, it's not called the Batman. It seems like it's called the Batman. So there's that. But cameras are now rolling on this film. And that now that it's officially in production, we can expect to learn a lot more about like what's going on in the movie. And that process has kind of already begun. We just before we came in here, we got some new details about characters that we're going to meet in the Batman. One of the ones that was interesting to me is we had a newcomer actress who was like one of the last cast members announced. Her name was Jamie Lawson, and she was a graduate from Juilliard in New York who was just kind of making her way into the film world, and she got her first gig being cast in the Batman.
Wow.
So
gotta love that.
All, bravo.
Yeah, I know, right. Talk about beginner's luck. So we were all kind of wondering who she might be playing in the film, and now we kind of learned, because of this being officially in production, there are, you know, production releases announcing, like, you know, that it's shooting and who the cast are. And it's been announced that Jamie Lawson is going to be playing somebody called Bella Real, who is a new character by all, you know, current searches of the internet and DC Comics lore. And of course, and she's described as a person running for mayor of Gotham City. So that's kind of our first little hint. And there's some conspiracy theories about that. I mean, her name is Real. Like, I mean, her name is spelled Bella Real. Like, and so, like, people are kind of speculating that this is an alias. And it was kind of speculated that she could be playing Batgirl because Jamie Lawson is African-American, and so is Jeffrey Wright, who's playing Commissioner Gordon. So therefore, this would be kind of a race-flipped Barbara Gordon.
Oh, man, I'd love that.
And that's not dead, because technically in the comics, Barbara Gordon, there's a whole arc of her becoming a congresswoman and trying to do stuff that's not quite vigilante work before getting sucked back into vigilante work. So there is precedent to kind of spin that into a new kind of story. And I even said in the article, there'd be room if you wanted to have kind of Commissioner Gordon's daughter running for office and she didn't want to be kind of running on her father's legacy. Like, you could see where she could maybe kind of change her name around. So there was that. The other thing was Peter Sarsgaard, who got cast, very famous actor, Peter Sarsgaard, and his casting, the photo, we all thought that maybe he was playing any number of villains. Like, there were things thrown around that he was playing like Calendar Man or this other person.
Everybody just wants Calendar Man. That name comes up so much, and I feel like
said the guy who loves Cardiac.
Hey, I didn't say it was bad. I just said everyone wants Calendar Man.
No, I'm just messing with you. We love Cardiac. We love Cardiac. But it's been revealed that Peter Sarsgaard is actually going to be playing Gotham City District Attorney Gil Coulson.
And people already think that's a red herring because they're he's Harvey Dent.
Yeah. Like,
so is he related to Phil? That's
but
very close.
I feel like there was a Gil in like the animated series, wasn't there? Because I remember that name. Like, who was
Poison Ivy? I don't think it was anyone who was
Poison Ivy dating in the animated series before, like, everything.
According to shippers, Harley Quinn.
Hey, I can get down with that. No, I like
there was that. A Gil Mason.
Yeah, Gil Mason was in the animated.
He was a deputy police commissioner.
Well, that's who this guy kind of is.
And secretly works for two.
We put it together.
Gotham City District Attorney Gil Coulson. And who was he in the comic or in the animated series?
He was a deputy police commissioner under the command of Gordon, but it was revealed that he secretly works for Two-Face.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. And that's like all part of Poison Ivy's origin. That's how she becomes Poison Ivy.
You heard it here. We broke it.
So, yeah, these are kind of possibly red herring roles. And the fandom, of course, is not giving up on that. So these are our first insights into the Batman. I mean, we've already seen things like them testing. Like, now it makes you wonder, like, it makes a lot more sense now why Colin Farrell wasn't maybe in full Penguin getup.
You're saying just like photos? They were
just testing.
Okay.
Testing rehearsals. Like why the desert Batman, motorcycle Batman was just on the street in London.
Right. And not really in any no real costume. Okay.
Exactly. So that would make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
This is just kind of pre-production, testing the images, getting the cameras and everything, the director of photography or whatever. And this is the official start. So
I love Batgirl theory. I'm
me
totally
too.
That.
Yeah, so am I. And it's an interesting thing because when you go back and read Congresswoman Gordon arc, basically she kind of gets an ex-boyfriend out of jail, trying to help him like get a second chance, but it goes bad. And so she says, well, vigilanteing isn't doing it. I should affect policy and get into that whole thing. And then she misses her reelection bid because she has to strap up his back girl again and go stop something. And by the time she does that,
oh, I love wow. that.
She loses out on kind of.
And then if mm-hmm. Christina Hodson can then finish that script in time. And that's the biggest question, right?
Yeah, because if it Batgirl, connects. Yeah. And this is always the question still hanging over this movie that is going to be interesting. Of all the things, I mean, here are the things that are going to be interesting that are going to start rolling out really fast. The costumes, obviously.
Can't
are going to start
wait.
Showing up because they're going to start having to shoot and people are going to start to.
Well, I'd say, I mean, like, we are officially, like, now more than ever, officially on Pattinson Batman Watch.
Are you excited? I'm excited.
Yeah.
Oh, he's finally excited.
I'm actually excited too. I was going to say that today. I'm really excited to actually until get a little bit more digging.
Until I see the suit back, and then immediately. Yeah. Yeah. This movie is fun.
And then we're back Debbie Deflator over there. Back down to nothing. So we look forward to that process. But yeah, we're going to start to see the costumes, obviously. But also we'll begin to kind of have to address, you know, larger, there'll be larger concerns and questions that maybe start to either become hinted at or apparent about, is this isolated? Will we see like Zoe Kravitz's Catwoman show up everywhere? Is this going to be connected to Hodson's Batgirl movie? Like all of that will start to kind of take shape, I think. Mm. So that'll be interesting to see. So if you aren't signed up for comicbook.com/DC, it's time to do so. Because these aren't Batman rumors anymore. We don't have to go to Reddit for any of this. It's real. It's real, people.
Like Casey and Joe just say, tell me it's real.
Yeah, it's real. So get strapped in for that because I'm really excited. I'm kind of excited to see the Batman take shape. It's been so long. I feel like this movie has been my El Dorado. Like, we've been like reporting on it and like reporting on it for so many years. So I'm just excited to see how it takes shape. All right, but moving right along. So jumping over from the world of DC to the world of Transformers. So Michael Bay and that whole Transformers, they ran that whole film series, I mean, below the ground. If you went to see Transformers the last night,
God
I'm
bless
sorry.
You.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did. I had to do a lot of spin-outs and work for that movie. And it was just like, well, here's nonsense that connects to nonsense and more nonsense and nonsense. So, that was going to be like the big Transformers universe, quote unquote, explosion, where we found out Transformers helped win World War II and have been here all along and all this other retcon bullcrap. But Transformers the last night crashed and burned. And so did the Transformers writers room. You guys remember that when they put together a whole writers room?
Yeah.
That was going to be the mastermind. And now they're hanging out in parking lots with the Dark Universe gang.
That was when, was that when Micronauts was still like part of that? Is that?
Oh, it was going to be like a big shared.
There were plans on plans on plans. But now we're scaling back and we're going for something much smaller in scope. Basically, we're getting a reboot of the franchise in two key areas. The first one is continuing the storylines and installments of that Bumblebee spinoff franchise, which fans have loved. Even if it wasn't a huge success, it was successful enough, and it did the job of kind of revitalizing the brand in a way that hardcore fans really loved.
But doesn't that movie fit into the Bay? Like, isn't that part of the Bayverse? Because it's the same Bumblebee.
Not at all.
It's the same Bumblebee.
Jim, be careful. You're going to let people know. Have you seen Bumblebee?
Yes.
So, okay. So you know that they call for the rest of the Transformers at the end of that movie, which is totally out of continuity with the first Bay movie where he calls the Transformers to Earth for the first time. Like,
yeah, I guess I thought that was more of a...
like a fan service-y thing?
Like, yeah. No, that was more of a retcon, if anything, but...
Well, I mean, but it was retcon to be out of... I mean, even if it was a retcon, it's retcon to be by itself. It is those don't exist.
You can't reconcile those two. I mean, it started its own continuity. So, I mean, we're going to follow that. And it's more along with the G1 cartoon continuity, the Transformer animations, the storylines, all of that. So I'm not mad at that because I didn't hate Bumblebee. And I feel like that's a proper restart for that franchise.
I kind of feel bad because I gave up. Like, I watched...
A lot of people.
Then I read that Bumblebee
is great.
Really great reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, but then it was, like, also the lowest grossing, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of... But that's kind of not the fault of that movie. It was Transformers The Last Night broke people.
Right.
And rightly so. I mean, yeah. At that point, Transformers movies are toxic. And
amazing. Like, it's amazing how you can be a failure and you make $600 million.
I know. That's crazy. That's
nuts to me.
But, I mean, this was similar to the Fast and Furious franchise. Like, Fast and Furious came out, and it wasn't a smash hit when it came out. it wasn't until the next one came out, Fast Five, that it really kind of kicked in high gear. But Fast and Furious had to do the work of turning the franchise around and putting it on a better road.
Path, yeah.
You know, pun. But like, yeah. And so that's what Bumblebee kind of did. Bumblebee had to take the bullet of, you know, showing us that there was this better version of Transformers at a time when people were so skeptical. So
yeah.
I think it'll be good if they do a bigger, like an even bigger Transformers G1 movie in that continuity. It will be a bigger deal. But the other thing in here that I'm personally really excited for
this is crazy.
We're going to get an adaptation of a movie adaptation of Transformers Beast Wars.
Yes.
Which if you grew up in like the 2000s when people started figuring out computers can make animation and did it really poorly. But
Optimus Primal, baby.
Yeah. So Transformers Beast Wars. I forget what the actual, don't quote me, I'm not a Transformers expert. But the series continuity was, I forget if this was like prehistoric Earth or a different planet that they landed on.
It was not Earth.
Yeah.
So but I don't remember like the name and stuff.
Yeah, we don't remember the nuts and bolts. Basically, these are Transformers who transform into like animals instead of cars. So there you go.
For a lot of people, I would say like our age, like this is their Transformers.
Right.
Like, the toys that we played with. Beast Wars is Transformers.
Yeah, be careful with our age. We're just talking about this. I can't throw that around.
You guys are.
I'm an 80s baby, like Yo Gotti. Like, I came up, like, yeah, G1 Transformers is my childhood.
Yeah.
No, I was in Atlanta in 86. For me in my early 30s,
Beast Wars is my Transformers.
I'm not going to hate. Because Beast Wars, I was the only Transformers I stuck with, like, in my college years. Mm-hmm, that was the one I watched.
It made the biggest impression on me. I mean, I was the Transformers animated movie is quintessential Transformers for me. That is my movie, Ultra Magnus, like, all that stuff. But Beast Wars is my, like, right after that is my favorite series.
I mean, that's the only other one I kept up with. Yeah. When they went to, like, 50 other different animated series, you lost me.
Yep.
Like, Beast Wars was the last time I was on. And that was, like, the other heavy mythos. That's why I'm saying I'm trying to remember, like, all the ins and outs of this.
Crazy that it was only on for 3 seasons.
Yeah,
right?
It's nuts that, like, people so have such a giant perception of it, and it was on for 3 seasons. And if you go back and watch now, the animation was terrible. Yeah. But it's still so cool.
It's terrible if you watch it today.
Dude, Cheetah Guy's transformations were so bad.
Even back then, you could kind of look at it and go,
but like,
it
back then, we were watching Reboot, and we were like, the future's here. The future is here.
It was like that, and like, what was it, Reboot?
It was Reboot?
Yeah.
Reboot those shows, man.
Which also looks terrible.
I feel like you guys need to watch. Have you guys seen the show on Netflix? It's like the toy. Toys That Made Us. If you watch the Transformer episode, I think of it as a toy. I wasn't into the movies or the TV shows or anything, but even just that sentimental value of like playing with these toys as a kid and then having these come to life in this magnificent way now because we have the technology to make things. We have the power to do really cool stuff. It's just, I feel like everybody who is a big fan of anything Transformer, you should definitely watch that show because that episode is just like so sentimental.
And then stick around for the Turtles and the Power Rangers.
Yep. Yeah. Those are great too.
I just remember watching Beast Wars and like being like, every kid loved Dinobot, right? And so when everyone was like, "Oh, there were other Dinobots in the original Transformers," I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about."
Are you hating on Grimlock right now?
I mean, no. I've learned to love Grimlock.
Grimlock is the best Dinobot. What are you talking about?
At the time,
that
I was
the
like,
most pretentious
no,
crap
there
ever.
There's only one Dinobot, and it's the one from Beast Wars.
No,
this
way.
Is one of those times you've spun off into your own opinion.
We don't
Charlie
know
level
him.
Opinions over
me
here.
Am like, Grimlock. Yeah. Grimlock is the man.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Okay. Saying there was only like one Dinobot that wasn't Grimlock. I can't rock.
If I had something to throw right now.
Yeah. All right, but we're getting this Beast Wars movie, and that's gonna be a good thing, right? Like we have more information, but I kind of broke my computer here, so we're just
I forget what's the cheetah's name?
Cheetor.
Is it Cheetor? Okay, and then Rhinox. Cheetor. I need those three. I don't need all the other ones, but I need those.
Cheetor.
I need Rhinox, Optimus Primal, and Cheetor.
Optimus.
No Rat Trap. I loved Rat Trap.
I do like Rat Trap.
What was Megatron's name in the movie? In the show?
We'll see, but
I think
that
was
the best
Megatron.
Thing.
Was he a But he was a Tyrannosaurus Rex?
He was a Tyrannosaurus Rex, but his name was Megatron.
That was the best thing about
him.
This show, though, because I think this show, because the graphics at the time were so like boundary pushing,
right.
They only had like six Transformers per team. It was like four or five at a time. I mean,
this
on
is
screen.
When video games were also starting to get like that 3D feel. Like I remember playing Donkey Kong Country 2.
Yeah.
And I was losing my mind because it wasn't that pixel like Mario thing. It was like that 3D feel.
Yeah.
And to me, it was just amazing. Yeah. Like so forward thinking.
That was Beast
like
Wars
you said, the future.
Now that we've dated ourselves, not to put a downer on this, but writing the Beast Wars movie is James Vanderbilt, who wrote the big hit sequel Independence Day Resurgence. So,
oh no.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Has he written anything else?
Possibly. I do not have the scrolling
fingers
power
crossed.
Right now.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Hey, man. You know?
But so just keep that in mind and temper expectations.
I did that movie to get to this one. We'll go with that mentality. He got that out of the way. He got all the suck out of the way, and now he's going to kill it.
That is not him.
I'm in your corner. I'm in your corner, James Vanderbilt.
But, we're hoping for the best on this. I mean, Beast Wars, I mean, if you can't tell, passions are already flying around here about Beast Wars and or Grimlock and or bad opinions about people and Grimlock.
All right.
I'm going to stay neutral here.
He just dropped that like so casually too. It was the nonchalance.
You have to watch Jim because he just drop it like it's common knowledge.
Yes.
He does that. He's just like, yeah, man. And everybody knows Grimlock was the sucky one. And
that was the best moment of those War for Cybertron games when you could actually take on B, become Grimlock. Those games. High Moon, man. I just needed.
Okay. Here's some good news for James Vanderbilt. He also wrote Darkness Falls, Zodiac, White House Down, The Amazing Spider-Man, The Losers.
Okay. He wrote the first Amazing Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
the Meg, Altered Carbon, like, so it's House of Clock and its Walls. Like, so he's not.
Oh, I love that too.
He's not too bad. I mean, Independence Day sticks out as Ready or Not. So.
Oh, okay. Whoa. Mm-hmm. He's got way more hits than Missing.
No, sorry. He produced Ready or Not.
Still no, not feather in the cap.
So he's produced. He's also produced some pretty hot genre stuff and or written. So let's just be fair to the man and say that Independence Day 2 sticks out as the worst.
Yeah, I feel good now. I feel totally good now.
Let's just ignore that. Let's just not even.
So there's still hope for Beast Wars. So prayers for Beast Wars. All right. Moving right along. We'll take a minute. We got time. But just to kind of take a quick minute and say, Jamie was on with us recently and we did a kind of whole breakdown of Star Trek Picard when the premiere episode is now up on CBS All Access, and it's been killing it. Picard set a good streaming record for CBS All Access. It's gotten new subscribers in there like none ever before, and I'm just going to, I mean, this is a shameless plug for our Star Trek coverage. We've been doing a lot of breakdowns of Picard and the larger implications. I really enjoyed the first episode of the series. It kind of unites classic Star Trek The Next Generation nostalgia with some bold new stuff that you find in these new series like Discovery or Picard, and some kind of remixes of classic races and characters and situations into kind of new intriguing things. Everything from a synthetic uprising that in mass murder to a new connection between the Romulans and the Borgs, and you know how Picard fits in all this and the kind of legacy of Commander Data. It's all in there. So if you're a Star Trek Next Generation nerd, now is a great time. Be sure to be checking out Picard because it's killing it. And we got plenty of coverage of that on comicbook.com Star Trek. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to deep dive into some of these Super Bowl commercials, break down these new comics. And we're going to tell you what happened in that Royal Rumble over on the WWE front. So stay tuned for all of that.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All righty then. So Super Bowl's coming up this Sunday. I mean, we're here in Nashville, Tennessee, so we only kind of care because our team didn't really do it. Yeah. But Mr. Connor Casey is over there, and
boy, that photo of him, that photo of him in the Chiefs jersey is so money. I love that thing so much.
It'd be cool if your name was Connor with a K. Then this shirt would make a lot more sense.
Yeah.
If you were Connor for real. Oh, man. Yeah, Connor Casey's here.
He's supposed to be the surprise.
WWE guy. He's going to talk for a bit. We're going to let him anyway.
We're not even though he's sporting that though. Kansas City.
That segue was just as good as the women's ending to the Royal Rumble.
Oh.
Boom.
Oh, wait. We'll keep your wrestling tights on. We'll get there. All right. But for the Super Bowl, we're going to talk about some of these commercials. We're going to talk about in our next episode, closer to the weekend of the game, we're going to tell you about the trailers you need to be on the lookout for and we expect to show up. Let's just say, if you're a Marvel fan, be sure you're watching. But, well, like I said, we'll get to that. But we're going to talk about some of these commercials because you guys know, always when the Super Bowl comes, there's commercials and they're talked about and they have stuff and they play with famous stuff. So we kind of grabbed a couple of those that appeal here and we're going to talk about them. The big one here is, I mean, they've suspended this campaign. I mean, this was ill-timed, unfortunately, but Planters killed off Mr. Peanut in an epic action movie car crash. But the Kobe thing kind of put a damper on that. It got a little too real with that. And so we don't know what happened with Mr. Peanut now. They suspended that campaign. There's supposed to be a huge eulogy for him at the Super Bowl, during the Super Bowl and everything. But
there were even like hashtag, they're encouraging people to post pictures that said like R.I. Peanut.
No.
Hashtag R.I. Peanut.
Yeah. And now this just seems really, really bad.
I feel so bad for those PR people because I'm not going to say it was the best stunt, but like there's no way you can see what happened coming. So it's just, you kind of feel bad of like, if it would have dudded, fine. But this is like something that you just can't control.
And I don't know why that was ever like going to be good. It's death. Like, why? Well,
America's changing. It's time for Mr. Peanut and everything he represents to die. He never acknowledged George Washington Carver. So that was kind of like, history. I'm just kidding.
I don't question anything in a world that how many Super Bowls in a row do we have those stupid GoDaddy commercials? Like,
oh my god,
those went like, over. Yeah. Look, whatever stuff works, it's weird, but this maybe would have been memorable.
I mean, we were some of the first people to report this, and so I got to see how quickly, I mean, and how big this got because. Yeah. I did it. I mean, Jim and Joe had me doing the story in the morning. I was like, you guys are crazy. So stupid. And then, like, sure enough, everybody in the world's like, oh my God, Mr. Peanut. I'm like driving home that night on the radio. They're like, Mr. Peanut's dead. And I was like, okay. Good for you, marketing people. But yeah, the Kobe Bryant thing obviously made this really too real. So they're kind of pushing this to the background. But yes,
but if you see it.
But Wesley Snipes
is
back, y'all.
Yeah.
Like, he's in there because he needs to do Peanut commercials now. Oh. So there's a lot of sadness in this commercial for a lot of reasons.
But I think the whole point is, like, if you haven't seen it, basically they get into a car accident. They're all hanging by a twig on the side of a mountain. And then they're like, someone has to let go and die to save us all. And so Mr. Peanut, and I quote, needs to save his friends and falls to his death. And then they're like, well, he could have survived the fall. And then the car explodes that he was in. So, yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen it, that's what happened.
Wow, spoiler. And,
I know you guys are very upset about the spoiler.
You did leave one thing out, which is that he never loses his monocle because he was a real G. He never lost his monocle.
He's a hero, man.
Down. Yeah.
Maybe this will bring him back. Maybe now.
Yeah, like, I mean, the world could use a little cheering up. Yeah. So, Planters, hopefully you guys have a resurrection plan in
place.
That
would be great.
Moving on to something that's a little less serious than, reminding us of our own mortality is... Well, I guess this isn't a good example. It was about Bryan Cranston recreating The Shining for Mountain Dew. And Mountain Dew, what is that? Like less calories or something? I didn't even.
Oh, is that
half
Mountain
the time
Dew?
I don't even get the like advertising. Sugar,
it's Mountain Dew Zero, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sugar-free. Yeah. And so he does the famous Shining bathroom. Here's Johnny scene with Tracy Ellis Ross. Except he gives her a Mountain Dew and then she's happy. So.
And then at the end, he's like two twins dressed up in dresses. Like.
Yeah, there's an elevator flooding out with Mountain Dew instead of blood, blah, 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 blah. The Shining. If you want to get some Shining nostalgia, that's a lot better. Go
Mountain
watch
Mountain Dew
Doctor
Zero Sleep. Just sounds like an oxymoron.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand Mountain
Well, if
Dew
you just
Zero.
Want the taste without the harmfulness of the sugar.
Well, I mean, but that's what Diet Mountain Dew is.
Who just wants the taste of Mountain Dew?
I love Diet Mountain Dew.
Like actually,
I like Diet Mountain Dew better than Mountain Dew. Like, wow. For real. Like, I actually prefer it.
Like, you don't just drink it just to
no,
give yourself an
No, I prefer, like, I did it before, like, diets and all that. Like, I prefer Diet Mountain Dew.
Wow.
It's a taste thing. I don't know why, but I haven't tasted zero. Evidently, it tastes like the difference between them is literally this big. And so I don't understand it either. But.
Every time I see Mountain Dew, I just think of that stuff Slurm from Futurama, and I'm like, no, thanks. But
it's been like 7 years since I've had Mountain Dew, and now I really want a Mountain Dew.
See?
So they did their job.
Super Bowl ad worked.
I want it. Except I'm drinking the real thing. I'm not going sugar-free. You know, if you're going to do it, go all the way.
Hey, man. There's so many joking there. I'm just going to pass. Okay. I'm going to pass on that joke. We'll let you guys wonder what that one was, what was for. If you contribute to my non-existent Patreon, maybe you can figure that one out. All right. But moving along to commercials, going over to new Marvel Universe inhabitants, Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty have a commercial for Pringles, which is done in classic Rick and Morty fashion. This is the only one I suggest you actually go and watch because it's funny if you're a Rick and Morty fan.
Even if you're not, because I don't really watch it, but I laughed out loud. I just thought it was great.
Yeah, the premise is Rick figures out that they've been trapped in a Pringles commercial, so it's kind of meta, and he's trying to get them out of it while also advertising Pringles. And Dan Harmon and Justin Roiland always do a great job of walking the line of doing shameless plugs using Rick and Morty, but making them not feel that way. And so this is another one. And like I said, this is the only one I actually recommend you watch. Well, that's not true. The next one I also kind of recommend you watch, which is Chris Evans, John Krasinski and Rachel Dratch is her name from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah,
all doing a Boston accents for a Hyundai Sonata commercial for the South Parking. So there's basically John Krasinski comes up to South Park his Hyundai Sonata, you know, getting out of the car and letting it park itself. Robot cars, we are here. So, and they do it as if it's in Boston and Chris Evans and Rachel Dratch. And
that one is very good. I watched it this morning.
And John Krasinski all have a conversation about the self-parking car using Boston accents. And they do a pretty good job. Chris Evans does a very good job of his like crazy Boston accent.
More and more, I feel that like out of the original three Avengers, Hemsworth, Danny Jr. and Chris Evans is going to be the one who will be able to continue to have a successful movie career.
Well,
he's already proved it, right? Great. Like right out of the gate.
Dude, he calculated. I don't know if you remember the Captain America actor search I do because it took up a lot of my professional life for a long period of time. But like he was calculating this all from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Chris Evans always knew the door out and when he was going to move and what he was going to do. He got in some directing in there. So like, yeah, I mean, I don't fault that at all. I mean, I remember that controversial article written by that journalist when he was kind of coming up about the Avengers time and like. It was just all about him being like a pure Hollywood machine, man. Like he was just a player of the game and the top level. And I would agree with that. I think Chris Evans is very careful about
respect. You
know, what he does, what it gets out and controlling his image. So I would not bet against that at all. And I mean, he's getting paid for these kind of commercials and we don't hate him. So that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Moving right along to something we did. Somebody else is getting paid for commercials and who we do hate, which is MC Hammer doing Cheetos commercials. Sitting at his piano, recreating.
Who hates
Can't
MC Hammer? Really?
I liked it. No, I didn't hate it.
I liked him before
he
sold a Cheetos. Like,
oh, dude, I love
Cold Cheetos.
It was so good.
Baked Cheetos are the...
Okay, who can... Like, everyone can relate to the cheese stuff, cheese dust.
Oh, yeah,
stuck
absolutely.
On your hands, and you can't touch this.
No.
I'm a proud lover of dad jokes.
That's just annoying.
I'm not a proud lover of this.
I loved it. Oh, man.
Come on, man.
Like, just if you just need money like that, just sign off your hologram. Just sign off on your hologram. Let them do whatever they want with your hologram and just take the money and retire. Like, MC Hammer, like, you got me into music. This isn't a good look. Like, I'm sorry. I can't
MC Hammer got you into music? Yeah, I'm having more trouble trying to reconcile that statement than
well, you giving tender, MC Hammer grief for Cheetos money. At the tender age of seven, as a second grader, I had been listening to Bach for quite some time, but I grew quite bored with it, so I decided to see Sebastian? What my fellow young American youths were bopping to that days. And when I kind of figure out what my fellow American youths were bopping to in the tender year of 1989, it turned out a man named MC Hammer was asking people, please hammer not to hurt them.
What was I listening and to in 1989?
Like, exactly.
I was listening to...
This was years before Lionel Dre Richie and Snoop.
Yeah,
in Chicago.
Classic rock, man. Mom and dad had me on classic rock. Fleetwood Mac.
I had classic soul and stuff, but this was the music for us, the kids. Yeah.
Sorry, I have to go pick up my eyes. They rolled so far in the back of my head.
MC Hammer rolled right into Criss Cross. Hey, man, it was a quick
Criss
transition.
Cross is the jam.
Yeah. MC Hammer rolled right into Criss Cross and Vanilla Ice, which rolled
we should get a commercial with all of them.
Dr. Dre and Snoop and the Chronic and everything, and then, you know, we never looked back after
respect.
That.
Hey, respect. Actually, respect.
Also, I was not a Cypress Hill fan, but okay.
Yeah, oh, well, I don't know what to tell you about that. You just was bad taste. But yeah, so MC Hammer coming. I mean, this was like my musical beginnings. My first real jam was Can't Touch This, and it's just sad, man. I'm sorry. I liked it.
You guys judge for yourself. Let us know. Hit us up with the hashtag.
I really should have brought the test of Cheetah Pop today. It would have been more fitting.
And finally, in case you guys aren't done with Old Town Road yet, you can at least see Sam Elliott sing Old Town Road in a Doritos commercial. Yay. Which, I mean, if you're going to go out and do this one more time and really kind of drag this horse through the mud till it's good and dead, like Sam Elliott, the consummate cowboy person on earth, is a good pick to kind of have him get in on.
Loved him.
And that's a fun spin on something. Yeah. Like, that's not sad. Like, that was actually
it's fun. Not.
Loved him. No.
It's not sad. Why is it? Well, okay, why do you hold MC Hammer to such a
there are a lot of surprises going on in this
entire thing. I get the ironic humor of Sam Elliott playing on his own persona for something he knows is absurd.
No, I thought that was great. It's just
leave MC Hammer out of it.
It was the hottest song. How could you leave that out?
Like
I'm a Kofi. This is like the perfect blend. I'm not with Kofi on MC Hammer, but on this one, it's perfect.
I'm over that song.
I'm over the song.
So maybe it's just that. It's probably just that. I'm over that song. I've heard it 90 million times.
You live in the wrong city, you guys.
It's been on every single like radio award show, whatever. Yeah, I'm just over it. But yeah, there's no hate on Sam Elliott. I'll watch him do
it. No, he was great. I thought it was hilarious. Like, I love the way that he spoke it. It's just adding Lil Nas X in it as well, like the actual guy coming in on a horse. I was like, dang it. I wish they could have just used the song and not the actual artist, because we are over this. I'm over Lil Nas X.
Most singers say
he didn't show
when
up at TwitchCon. He left us hanging. No, I'm not a big fan.
Yeah, they don't do that. Like, people have a hit song, they don't just let other people play it without showing up.
That was good.
I don't recommend that as a musical career path, but I see what you're saying. It would have been less on the nose. But yeah, let us know, because there is certain debates growing here. So you let us know if that MC Hammer thing is sad or not. All right, that's my spiel. Matt, you're back, and we brought you back because people need to know about their comics, and they're sick of hearing me try to read it to them. So take us through. What's hot in comics this week?
By the way, I just got to give a special shout-out. You have done an amazing job on that. So
thank you.
Holding down that fort, because I imagine it's like reading a book of
gibberish. I do it like as you in my head. I'm like, this comic is greatest thing since Cardi.
That's accurate. So first book is a Lil Nas X comic book.
What?
It's not. It's
oh,
not.
God.
Actually, first up is Animosity number 26. I will harp on this till the cows come home. This is like one of the best comics out there. I've talked about it in the past. So if you're looking to give something a shot, they just started a thing, which is like throwing these weird gladiator elements into the mix, and it's these animals who have gained awareness, and now there's like a drug that can put some of them back to sleep where they don't understand that they're like higher consciousness and things like that. So it's like it's hitting a lot of really dark points, but it's still lighthearted and fun. So anyway, you should definitely check that out. Go-Go Power Rangers number 28. I bring this up because it is ending. So that will be one less Power Rangers book I get to boast about every time on these. It'll end with 32, which is sad, but it is still very good. Let's see. Bat and the Cat, 80 Years of Romance is a new trade paperback. Now with Batman Catwoman coming, you're going to, if you want to find like a great Reader's Digest thing of that whole saga, this is a great way to do so. Green Lantern Black Stars number 3 ends this little weird three issue kind of interim thing. And then Green Lantern season two launches in another month. So we're going to be back full swing into that. Suicide Squad number two, Tom Taylor's new series is just, I mean, it's the first two issues have been excellent. So definitely check that out. Weatherman volume two, number six. Weatherman is a weird, like, dystopian tale of a guy that committed a horrendous act that killed a lot of people. And then his memory was overridden. And he's been living his life as this weatherman, this innocent, just kind of jerk weatherman. And then somebody discovers what he is. And now he has to help, like, end this threat, this terrorist threat. And it's this weird thing of, like, you feel bad for him because he has had years of this new life and he does not remember the old one. But they need to bring back the old one to find and hunt down the terrorists. So it's actually really interesting. It's really dark sometimes.
Which publisher?
Image.
Okay.
So Weatherman number six, this ends this arc, but the first trade is in trade. So definitely check that out. Avengers number 30, Avengers of the Wasteland number one. That's the new out of the Old Man Logan Wasteland storyline. Since Dead Man Logan happened and he went RIP, they have now established a new team of Avengers in that dystopian world. There's a new Thor, a new Hulk, and things like that. So very good. Captain Marvel, the end, number one, as well as Doctor Strange, the end, number one. Marvel has been cranking these out recently. Venom was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So these are just like almost what if. They always sell them as this is the final story about this character, but they never really stick to them as anything like in main continuity. So they're just kind of fun what if tales, but they are about either the death or final mission of the character. So both of those are out. In X-Men World, A Fallen Angels, number six. We also have X-Force number six, ending those arcs of those books. We have Hawkeye Freefall, the new Hawkeye series from Matthew Rosenberg, which has gotten really good reviews. So if you're looking for Hawkeye, definitely check that out. Ravencroft number one, Star Wars number two, Thor number two. So those are the rounding out Marvels, but it's a big release week and I had to cut some out. So there's a lot of big stuff coming this week. So that's your comics.
All righty then. Well, for now, that's going to do it for me. I'm going to do the rare thing that we're now doing in season two and giving myself a break, hopping out of this chair, because Mr. Connor Casey is going to come on over here and take us through our recap of WWE's 2020 Royal Rumble. And I kind of like to watch Connor, Matt, and Jim just fight this stuff out.
Oh, and great.
We thought it'd be even funnier leave Janelle thrown in the middle of all this. So Janelle, tell everybody your wrestling expertise, and I'm just going to throw you guys in there. Yeah. Connor, come on down.
Sure. Well, I really don't have a lot of expertise on wrestling, but I'm excited to
But you're excited about the Rumble because
I was. So I was streaming. If some of you don't know, I'm a Twitch streamer, and I was live when the Royal Rumble was going on, and I had people updating me like in the chat about every single thing that was happening. And it was kind of exciting.
Right.
Like, I felt like I was watching it, but I was living vicariously through all of these like big fans in my community.
So question after like, so after that kind of experience, would WrestleMania, which is like essentially the Super Bowl of wrestling, is coming up very soon. Would that kind of experience get you to like actually watch? Yeah. Would you be interested in watching that?
Like all of the reality shows. I watch Divas and Bella Twins and, you know, I love it. I just don't, I'm a little intimidated by the storylines and being so far behind. How do you even start?
You honestly just jump in. Just jump in.
Unfortunately.
And accept it.
Yeah.
And like generally they do, the commentators do, I think, a pretty good job of recapping in the moment as something is happening. WWE puts together some of the best video packages in the entertainment industry. Period.
They're better than what actually happens sometimes.
Yeah. they will do mini packages before, you know, big pay-per-view matches to catch someone up and things like that. And they are just the best. I am in awe every time. And they give you everything you need to know. And then you just go from there.
Question. Is it worth watching after it's already aired and like not seeing it live
Of
that, so I can go back.
It's just more exciting when you see it.
Because I feel like after this conversation we're about to have right now, I'm gonna watch that. I don't know.
Hi guys.
Hi.
What up, Connor?
Tell us about it.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I am sick right now, but I am playing through the pain because the Royal Rumble on Sunday was awesome. Matt, I know you were watching. Jim, I see you over there. I know you were watching.
On this day.
This show blew my expectations out of the water. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. It was
already. It took it was, 5 seconds.
It was
to drop
pretty,
a hot take in there.
It was pretty slow.
You thought you had to worry about me.
The rumble matches themselves.
Oh yeah, the rumble match. The rumble matches were great. The rumble, like the Royal Rumble, as a pay per view.
The show, yeah, the show outside of those two matches is always disposable. You can ignore most of that. But the 30-man matches themselves, that was awesome. The women's match went by at a really quick pace. This was like the fastest Rumble in 10 years.
Is that a good thing?
It really depends. I mean, you have people coming in every minute or so.
I've seen this in video game form.
Sometimes the ring has like 10 people in it. Sometimes it's just like two. And it's all about how you pace it out. Because sometimes these things can last over an hour.
I did like that the women's one. I'm okay with like especially because last year they had a bunch of time where there was a bunch of people in the ring and you were just waiting for someone to come in and clear it out.
Yeah.
This year you didn't have that for either one. There was few times where there were more than 6-8 people in the ring. And it was kind of nice because it made it feel like it was more
active. I can't imagine more than 6-8 people in the ring.
It's insane. And the way they – let's get to the men's one because the women's one, you know, was kind of – it was a standard match, but it was just well done. I'm not crazy about Charlotte winning, but it sounds like we're going to get the Shayna-Becky match anyway. So
I also just love that it had a ton of NXT people, which made me happy.
It was basically the NXT Rumble.
Tony Storm, like all those people were in there.
Sure, but then you have – Chelsea Green
come like, in and go out.
Have a pretty good entrance, and then she's gone.
Yeah. You had a bunch of that in this thing. I was just happy that Tony made it a little longer than that.
Yeah, just a little bit. And Candace had a good showing.
Candace, and then Mercedes.
See, I know these names because of these reality shows that I watch. Yeah. That's so funny. And now I even more so, I feel like a little bit more confident to try to get into
it. They need to get Candace and Johnny on Total Divas because they're just adorable together.
Oh, they would be great.
They'd be fantastic.
But you were saying men's.
Sorry. Okay, the men's Rumble itself. So this one went a little bit different than previous matches. You had your number one guy was Brock Lesnar. He's this big, unstoppable, you know, just like a... almost looks like they shaved an ape. It's what he looks like. And they had him start number one. And then one by one, guys would come in and try to take him down. And he effortlessly threw out, I think it was 13 guys.
Tied the Braun Strowman record.
Yeah, tied the record. The only time anybody got close was like when Keith Lee got in there. And I got hyped.
Of course, because Keith Lee is the freaking star.
That was the first time I had seen him stand toe to toe with a guy like Brock. And be like, oh, he's just.
But crazy. Brock sold that.
Yes,
like the best part was Brock's response to Heyman.
Who's this big boy?
Yeah, this dude. Like, it was so good.
It would not have worked without Brock.
No. Okay. Whoa. No, you go too far.
No,
it would have worked. It just wouldn't have been as good. It would have worked because a bunch of people popped for Keith Lee.
Sure.
When he came out, without Brock,
but if he was just someone who got thrown over the top rope.
Oh, there would be.
No, I'm saying, but furious. You said it wouldn't work without him. That's bull. Would have worked.
The moment as a whole,
yes,
would not have. I don't think would have worked. Like, if they had just got in and Keith had just started to like beat down Brock, it would have been like every other big guy that went against Brock. Right.
I'm not saying he had to beat down Brock. I'm saying the moment, though, worked because, yes, it worked because Brock had a very big part in it, and Brock played that out perfectly.
I disagree, but okay.
Keith Lee is a star.
I think they've got bigger plans for Keith on NXT itself before, because he's ready.
Oh, yeah, he's ready now, but he doesn't need to go.
But I think that they've got more in store for him before.
And I don't trust Raw and SmackDown with him anyway.
As you should, because if you know anything about WWE history, you really
don't mess
should.
Him up. So, no, keep him on NXT.
And then we get to Drew. Who kicks him out? Star-making performance right there.
Great for Drew.
Great little moment from Ricochet being like, "This is for kicking me in the."
That was awesome. I did like that they had him play that.
Rock sells the hell out of it. And then Drew kicks him out of the ring, and in the whole arena. I mean, they're in a baseball stadium for this, so it's 40,000 people, and they're like, "Oh my god, this is the guy now." And you buy it just from the way he looked, from the way his presence in the ring.
Yeah,
it all worked. And then you get down to, and then Edge. At number 21.
Yeah, that was a big.
We had been talking about this on the website for months, and I didn't buy it because Edge guy from the 90s and 2000s had spinal stenosis, had like a triple fusion in his neck. He was done. He was very done, and he said he was in 2011, and here he is back 9 years later, and everyone's like, "How the hell are you?"
Yeah,
and just to see him drink in the emotion
was awesome.
Because as soon as the music hit, everyone realized. I just,
I was on the verge of tears because that was my guy growing up.
Oh yeah,
shows my age, mid to late 2000s.
I'm a young lad.
I look back, young.
what? Okay, and then we get to the finals, and everyone's worried it's gonna be Roman again. Did you think it was gonna happen?
No, I thought at that point when that group in the ring, I thought Drew.
Okay,
but it's mostly because you sold me on that because your prediction was spot on. So right, I was like, oh yeah, that's
the thing when you have two world championships is you can always have the guy you think is going to win lose and then just turn around in a month and say, I want to fight Bray.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen.
Yeah.
You just got to deal with it. So coming off this show, Matt, because I know you watched, mm-hmm. and I know you watched last night as well. Mm-hmm. Jim, you can pipe in on this too. Give me three matches you want to see at WrestleMania that you think are going to happen in April.
I don't have three. I have two that I want, and I have two that they'll probably give me.
Fair enough.
So the two that I think they'll give me is they'll give me Charlotte versus Shayna.
I think so.
And they'll give me Drew versus Brock.
I think they're going Charlotte Ripley.
So here's my thing. That's the one I think they'll give me because that's honestly the easiest route, and it's the route that saves who I really want for next year and to build a program.
Sure.
What I want is Becky versus Shayna because that has actual heat and that's a story.
I think that's going to happen.
And then I want Brock versus Keith Lee. Again, that will be a next year thing. Those are the ones I want, but the other two are the ones. I think Charlotte, that was my biggest problem with the Women's Rumble is that safe. I get it, though, if you're going to do a Shayna thing, cool. You give Charlotte something to do at WrestleMania. I just don't think they'll, in a very short amount of time, you have to switch gears from Baszler, Charlotte to Becky, Baszler, and make it believable. And I don't think they will. I think they'll just go, let's go the easy pick.
Yeah.
Let's have that.
All it takes is Charlotte showing up on Wednesday night on NXT, and there's your match. Like
exactly.
And all Baszler has to do is show up on Raw and beat up Becky once, and Becky can cut a promo. And
exactly.
That one's ready to go. I'm there with you on a couple of those. I think we're getting Roman Bray. Obviously, Drew Brock's been official. I had came up with one because I was trying to do here's a way too early prediction for the card.
Yeah.
And I thought of a match that people are going to hate when I say it, but then you're going to think about it and it's going to happen and you're going to love it. Goldberg versus King Corbin.
I hate it.
As you should.
I hate it, but
we've been talking, but you keep hearing about, oh, they want to keep bringing back Goldberg for these big events. And when he does, he shows up for 2 minutes and destroys whoever he's in the ring with. Who better than Corbin?
Because it means that I have to have Corbin on my TV for more than 5 minutes in a night. I don't want that.
Get murdered.
I don't want to see him.
You're going to love it.
You know that you've pressed me too far when I don't even want to see you get massacred. Like I don't want to see you on TV anymore. You take up too much screen time as it is. Go away.
He's not going.
I want you to have a job. I want you to all that. Away. I just don't want to see you anymore.
He's not going away. And if we got to sit through more Corbin promos, better it be to lead up to watching him get Dolph Ziggler'd.
Also, while we're giving little hot takes, I'm over the Fiend. So.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Nope.
I'm over the Fiend.
That match was awesome.
It was fine.
Daniel Bryan, I'm
over the Fiend.
Also, Becky coming out with a goat jacket. Daniel Bryan's the goat. And you got to deal with that.
I know that guy.
Exactly. Bree's husband.
I'm not. I am also not a fan of Becky as the goat. Not because I don't think she's not, but.
Not, but.
Yeah. I just don't think that's the next step in that character.
I don't know. I don't think so either. I think it was just a jacket to have on Royal Rumble. I don't read anything more into that.
No,
she's cutting promos on YouTube saying, I want to be the greatest of all time. And
I mean, look, if she is, you know why it is. So, I mean, I feel like that has nothing to do with where I want to go. That means I need to get away from the man because that's a legal issue since Ric Flair continues to use the man in his ads. He does.
Here's the thing. If you want to call yourself the greatest of all time, you got to be the greatest in your own company first. And she's not.
She's not the greatest
wrestler in the WWE
women's wrestler.
No, she just said go. She did not specify.
Okay, but that's what you assume they're talking about. Because she would assume nothing. Okay, I assume that, and I will say she's clearly my favorite and the best women's wrestler in the current main roster right now.
That's not what
easy.
She's calling herself easy. The GOAT overall.
If she says all time, no. Close. But I don't think she also means all time.
What do you think the AT in GOAT stands for?
I'm saying she's a women's wrestler. Why would she not? You would absolutely say if a guy came out and said, I'm the greatest of all time, you would say, oh, he's the greatest male wrestler of all time. You don't consider the other gender.
I'm with Matt on this one.
Okay. You know, I'm saying, like, come on.
Wait, so who is the GOAT? You guys,
probably Steve Austin.
Okay.
What?
Oh, no, another can of worms.
Maybe Flair.
We got to wrap this show, so I will not go down that rabbit hole.
If you guys have your GOAT, tweet me and teach me.
Ah, oh, there you go, Janelle.
Who I'm supposed to support, because I want to know more.
Fair enough. Yeah, so that is it for WWE. We'll not have another show until late February in Saudi Arabia. Less said about that, the better. But we are on the road to WrestleMania, so get excited.
Yeah, but you know Edge is going. That's why he signed that deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be great. I will still Edge, not watch that show, but
Edge,
yeah.
Undertaker part 12.
Very excited. Oh, I do love the Undertaker. I've actually dressed up as the Undertaker, and I do love the.
Do you do the weird eye rolly in the back?
Oh. Yes, the whole thing, man.
Baby's doing that right now, by the way, because she doesn't have like full eye control, and it freaks me the hell out.
It's the Undertaker.
It's very weird. It's very weird.
Okay, bringing a little bit back sanity back to this show. I'm going to put a wrap on this.
Why did you leave me? I'm just kidding.
Because you got to see how you swim sometimes. This show's full of surprises. This isn't the life or death training yet. Don't so that'll do it for this first season 2 episode of Comic Book Nation. Thank you, Connor, for hopping in here and giving us that lovely WWE recap and slash multiple grenades that were tossed in here. If you are just getting into the show with season 2, first of all, go back and listen to all 100 episodes of season 1.
Yeah.
Get caught up on what we do here. This is a journey. You should know what it's all about and who you're riding with. But if you're just getting into season 2 and you just want to get into season 2, we put up new episodes every Wednesday and Friday on comicbook.com, where you can subscribe to our RSS feed and get regular updates on new shows. Or you can subscribe on your favorite listening platforms. You can choose from iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Google Playlist, iHeartRadio, or you can go on YouTube in the comicbook.com YouTube page and find videos there of each show now with our prettier set and prettier people for your viewing pleasure. If you want to continue the conversation with us, just hit us up at the hashtag Comic Book Nation, or you can find me at Kofi Outlaw.
You can find me at Janelle Wheeler and on Twitch, same name.
And you can find me at Matt Aguilar CB.
If you want to leave a 5-star review of the show on iTunes, every so often we will do a kind of reader review roundup where we kind of read your reviews on the show. And if we read yours, we will send you a free Comic Book Nation t-shirt. All we need to know is your name, your real name, your address, and your shirt size. So be on the lookout for those. Leave your 5-star reviews on iTunes so that we can read them and send you some free swag. That'll do it for this episode. We hope to see you guys when we come back again for season 2, episode 2. This is Comic Book Nation, and Matt, you want to do the first one of this season?
Deuces!